Hello and welcome to Ride Home Review. I'm Oliver.
And I'm Susan.
And today we attended the tale of Sweeney Todd.
But can we tell them too much or will they give it away?
I mean, and that's the play and he wouldn't want us to give it away.
Well,
not
Sweeney. Anyway.
Not Sweeney Todd.
Well, we don't care.
The Demon Barber of Fleet Street. Yes, we have seen Sweeney Todd on the Broadway with Aaron Tveit and Sutton Foster.
And these were masterclass performances.
And what's interesting is when these performances were announced, about 3 months ago, there was a lot of, I'd say, controversy of these two people being miscast. And I can kind of see why, because they went against their traditional casting types, both of them. But I thought they worked. I thought this against type younger Sweeney Todd, this kind of almost attractive-looking man, made sense because the reason he could get away with so much is that he looked normal.
Yeah, he didn't look villainous. You wouldn't take a look at him and think, oh, that one's about to cut my throat. Is that a spoiler?
Yeah.
I thought that Sutton Foster as Mrs. Lovett was really beautiful because she brought out, a humorous side to the script that is not really evident on the words on the paper. She was quite playful and just a dream to watch her do her stuff.
I mean, Mrs. Lovett has a comedic bent. It's been played by everyone from Angela Lansbury to Patti LuPone to Annaleigh Ashford. Like, it has a comedic bent, but I thought Sutton Foster caved this kind of matronly motherness that I thought was really fascinating. And I know I do use fascinating a lot, but
yeah, it was mischievous. It was a bit wicked. It was also quite funny. But ultimately, I thought real, and Mrs. Lovett is definitely a character with many, many different elements to her, and Sutton managed to bring all of those out.
A desperation that I found. And obviously, we would talk about Joe Locke as Tobias, the other big casting in this revival at the moment, but we got an understudy.
Yeah, not today. I guess you can often expect that on a matinee you might get an understudy, and as long as it wasn't Sweeney or Mrs. Lovett, I was okay with that. And the young man who played that role was well and truly up to it.
Yes, it's a fascinating production that it found this choreography and this movement to it that I've not seen in my other Sweeney Todds.
I mean, it wasn't dance. It was choreographed physical theatre-style movement, which just pushed the whole thing along, that you could see the energy was being enhanced by what mostly the other supporting characters were doing around our main characters.
And this is directed by and has a lot of the people involved in the Hamilton, and it has a very kind of Hamilton-style movement to the piece.
And a really dark, dingy, steampunk aesthetic to the set. Nothing particularly surprising in terms of the elements. You know you're going to get the chair, an oven, a sort of slide, a mental institution, all of those key things that if you've seen Sweeney you come to expect. But there was an industrial grunge to it.
And this production became famous for its going back to the original orchestrations with this big 30-piece orchestra. And you could hear it. You could hear that this had a full orchestra and wasn't just a keyboard and some strings.
It was a big orchestra, it was a big cast, it was a big set, and ultimately a very big, bold performance.
And it's still Sweeney Todd. It didn't try to reinvent the wheel. It just said, we know what we are doing. We are in capable hands. Let you, to use the words of the show, attend the tale of Sweeney Todd.
Absolutely. And other than that, the only star mention I'll give to is to the Smoke Machine that got an absolute thrashing to create that kind of bleak London mist around the whole thing. And so you then had the lights cutting through that.
And the lighting design
lighting and shadows, gorgeous.
Beautiful. And there were moments where Sweeney's shadow was massive behind him and Mrs. Lovett's was small, and then they'd kind of... their shadows would pass by each other and Mrs. Lovett's would get bigger.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that a lot of the time you don't notice lighting unless it's pretty average and people are in the dark, or it's sensational. And this is one of the ones you go, wow, the lighting designer really earned his
and
money on this.
And what's fascinating about this one was there were moments where people were in the dark.
Hmm.
And I'm going, why have you put that character in the dark? And then I go, no, that's the point.
Yeah, this is someone that is existing in the shadows. Just enough to know they're lurking.
And we know they're there, we can see them, but we can't see them.
They're not finding their light, as they say, in the theatre.
The traditional choice is you move him two steps to the left and he's in the light and you can see everything.
Mm.
Sometimes they just put him just out of the light and you go, why are you doing that? Are you just not finding your light? And you go, no.
No.
You're being conscious and deliberate in putting him just outside the light, enough that we know that he's there.
Yeah, this is a character that is existing in the fringes in the dark and we're going to leave him there. You know, beautifully done, beautifully staged, great performances. I highly recommend it if you happen to be in New York anytime soon.
Yes, and next, Doubt.
Doubt tonight, but you haven't given this a rating yet.
But of course, I'm giving this... ooh, it's a high distinction. I was debating whether it's the top end of a distinction or a flipped over, but I think it does flip over for me.
Yeah, it flips over for me too. I think that particularly given that this is a musical I've seen a number of times, certainly not on this scale, it needed to bring something else to go into that high distinction, and it did. So that's us until soon.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.